Okay, let's start with having each one of the candidates, in order that you're seated there, give a one-minute statement that basically is your background so they can learn a little bit about you.
Good evening. We'll do a first test. Are we good with the AGP, gentlemen? Wonderful. Great. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jeff Lee. I've been a resident of Grover Beach since 2001. So I've been a resident of California since 1991, and I'm married to a wonderful woman of 17 years, Mary Moyers Lee. I'll back up a little bit there. So we do live in Grover Beach. We love the community. We love living here. My background is I have a bachelor's in science in civil engineering from Merrimack College, a little college in North Andover, Massachusetts. Again, I moved to California in 1991. I currently work for the County of San Luis Obispo in their Public Works Department as a registered professional engineer. I'm currently the chair of the Parks and Rec Commission. I'm also the president of one of the Kiwanis Clubs in San Luis Obispo, the Noontime Club. I have also been a past president of the San Luis Obispo Little Theater, and I've also been a member of the Chamber of Commerce Leadership Class 5, which Judith was a wonderful coordinator for that several years ago. Looking forward to serving the citizens of Grover Beach.
Hello, I'm Karen Bright. I have lived in Grover Beach for over 25 years. I have two children. I have served on the council for the last 5 years. I was a planning commissioner for 3 terms prior to that. I've been an active community volunteer since I've lived here. I worked in the classroom as a room mom and then PTA president at Grover Heights and in active PTA at Judkins and so on as I followed my children through school. I now sit on the Air Pollution Control Board as well as the Integrated Waste Management Board. Thank you very much. I look forward to serving you again on our City Council.
Good evening. First, let me apologize for my attire. I just get
Phyllis Molnar. I've lived in Grover Beach since 2000, so I've been here about 12 years. I live with my husband, Guy. My son, Thomas, is in the Navy. He's a corpsman and currently stationed in Afghanistan with the 27 Marines. I was born in Southern California. I started working when I was 12 years old, and I've been working ever since then. I have done babysitting. I've worked in retail. I work for Save-On and the over-the-counter drugs. I had my own preschool for 10 years for my own corporation. Currently, I have my own business, past, present, future bookkeeping. I've been on the council for 2 years, and I feel that my experience and my background gives me a lot of benefit for this city. Thank you.
And last but not least, we have Debbie Peterson.
Hello, I'm Debbie Peterson. And I moved here in 1998. I chose to live here because I thought it would be a great place to raise a child, and it has been. I have a 15-year-old son who's at Royal Grande High School, and I've done a lot of the things that moms do, the room mother, the, Toastmasters I did too. That wasn't quite for the son. Scouting and volunteered in a number of areas with my son. And also, prior to coming here, I launched a company in Great Britain, and we manufactured baked goods, Californian baked goods. And so I employed 85 people and had a turnover of 7 million. So this size of a city, this size of a turnover and budget, I'm very familiar with. I've had 4 years on the council and 3 years prior to that on the Planning Commission, and I look forward to being the first elected female mayor of Grover Beach.
Okay, thank you to all of the candidates, and let's begin with a tough one. If you are, and this was, by the way, the number one question that we received here, and that is, if you are elected, what are your plans to help business in Grover Beach, either by attracting new business, encouraging economic development, or encouraging the businesses that we have? And we're going to start with Karen, then Lewis, and then Jeff.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you. Well, first and foremost, I think, would be to work towards getting our beachfront lodge and conference center going. I think that that will bring a great deal of economic vitality to our downtown, as well as to bring in additional business. So that would help to revitalize our core, as well as, I think, to promote our I've lost my whole train of thought. I'm so sorry. Along with that, to our oh gosh, I'm so sorry. We have a
network.
Thank you very much. Our virtual port. We have a virtual port. We have a network that is sitting off the end of Grover, end of Grand Avenue here, that is a gateway really to bringing in a great deal of business into our industrial area. And by doing so, I believe that we can also revitalize our industrial area, which would as well revitalize that area and bring in more business, which would help the existing businesses in that area as well. Thank you.
Mr. Robles?
I think, to me, the key thing would be to be able to listen, to be able to listen to the business owners, listen to those who are on the council together, and begin to plan. You know, part of what I know of building is the fact that I can't do it alone. So for me to come up and say that I have an idea that will be the be all end all fix it isn't really so. You know, but to be able to discuss and be able to listen to business owners, be able to be aware of what's happening. You know, like yes, with the lodge that would be great. It would be a great opportunity for us to invite restaurants. It would be a great opportunity for us to bring businesses in. To, you know, because what I've said, and you know, I know that the roads are a really big concern for people, and you know, but one of the things that I believe is that the same roads that lead to Grover are the roads that lead through Grover. So if we can make this and cause this place to be a destination place where the lodge would bring that and bring these people, and then we could
increase the revenues, we need to do business development. And I think the Grover Beach Lodge is a way that we can do that. I believe getting the vacancy signs out of a number of the businesses that we have in town would be another way to do that by attracting restaurants and service community elements, and then also utilizing the virtual port that Karen mentioned to bring in clean industrial jobs and also to attract Wi-Fi hotspots into each of the residents and so forth in each of the businesses within the community, because that can be something that we can use as a head of household job creating element, which can then increase revenues for the city, which then we can then put on the roads, which then can improve the elements of life in Grover Beach. We're a great place to work, we're a great place to live, we're a great place to play. I think with all of those elements in place, we can be a better place to live, a better place to play, and a better place to work. Thank you.
Thank you. And now, Ms. Peterson?
Yes. I've been very active in working with the business community because I set up my own business in Great Britain and did a lot of redevelopment work there once I sold the business. I did about 5 years working all over Britain in various redevelopment agencies. And that's really my passion, and that's why I wanted to run for mayor. That's what I like doing best. And I think that one of the things that Grover Beach does best is partner, and we understand, being a small and being the poorest incorporated town, that we have to partner to get things done. And so we've done a good job of partnering with the Visitor and Convention Bureau. I've been on that board, and we've been partnering, as you know, now with the Chamber of Commerce, and I think that's having some good outcomes for our businesses. And also, once I'm elected, it's very important to me to pull together business owners and community members to work on some of the critical things that we still have to do. We've got our zoning much more business friendly. We still need to work on signs. We still need to work on parking. And so I'd like to convene community members and community groups to help us with that. We were told in 2004 in the visioning workshops that what the residents wanted was pedestrian-friendly, slow down traffic on Grand Avenue, make Grand Avenue look beautiful, and get the lodge in there. And I've been working diligently to that end. I'm very keen to see those things happen. And I think that at the end of the day, if we understand that if our businesses are healthy, then our budget is healthy, that will focus our thinking. Our number one priority as a council has been economic development, and I'm very keen to continue that.
Thank you. And Ms. Molnar.
Well, the beauty of going last is everybody has already said everything. I actually approach this in a different way. Our revenue stream comes from mostly property tax. Currently, we have 48% of our revenue is property tax, 18% is sales and use tax. I come from an area in Southern California, actually originally Venice, in which that whole area turned around because the residents decided to support the neighborhood. You need to look at your residential population first. If you fix your residential neighborhoods, people would be willing to move here. You have better streets, you have a good park system, you have security, you have safety. People will want to live here. And then usually they invest in the neighborhood in which they live. So my approach is to encourage local investment in the downtown area. And then there's another aspect that has been brought to our attention many times, and that is our speed limit down Grand Avenue. On many of my travels, every little town we go into, I go and I talk to the Chamber of Commerce and I talk to council members if they're available. And just recently, we were in the city of Hollister. That has a main drag going down it, just like we do, Highway 25. There is the alternate freeway route that now goes around, but it's a very similar situation to our city. And they have reduced their speed limit to 25, just as it's been suggested so many times. You slow it down, people will look. People will notice. We cannot be a freeway to the beach that will not give us the benefit of getting revenue. So we really need to look at that aspect. Yes, fix Grand Avenue, but slow it down. Make it really pedestrian friendly. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, all of you. And let's start with question number two, and we're going to begin with Mr. Robles, and then Mr. Lee, and then Ms. Bright. What does the Grover Beach Lodge project mean to the residents of Grover Beach and the five cities, and do you support it?
As I said, it gives Grover Beach an opportunity to be concerned with the visitor than they are the resident. And so I think that's part of what that listening also has to do, and what we have to do as far as listening to the resident. If we have to recognize that this is a beautiful place to live, and they have to feel also that we want them to live in a beautiful place. This is, you know, it's a great place to raise a family, and a lot of new families are coming in. As I've been out, I've noticed most of the doors I walk up to, or there's a moving van in the front, or there's people moving furniture in. So the lodge, I think, is really great for building this opportunity for us to invite business and also to give the residents something to be excited about.
Thank you. And Mr. Lee, your feelings about the Grover Beach Lodge.
I'll start off by saying that, yes, I am in support of the lodge, so a strong supporter of that. I think there's a couple different reasons why the lodge is a good thing. The image that comes to mind is throw a pebble into a lake, and what happens? And you get a series of ripples, and the ripples continue to expand, they continue to grow and reach out from that center point. And I think the lodge can be that pebble going into the pond, because it can provide opportunities for the residents of Grover Beach to go, like Lewis said, go to to a five-star restaurant, go walk down by the beach. There is going to be an equestrian access location. So then it builds into an opportunity for people to do overnights for in the rooms and go have a beautiful view of the ocean and still play golf next door. And then it also gives an opportunity for businesses to come into that location, also provides opportunities for growth down Grand Avenue towards the beachfront and towards Beach Place and towards Grand Avenue, which then again brings money into the city of Grover Beach, which then we can then use on services in the community, whether it be road improvements, infrastructure improvements, maintenance of parks and rec facilities and so forth. So I think from that ripple, you can really grow it into I don't want to say tsunami because that would be a bad connotation, but I think that ripple effect is something that we can all take and really enjoy and appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Bright, your feelings about the project?
Thank you. I do support the Lodge and Conference Center for many reasons, mainly because I believe that it will be a major boom to this town, not only in income to our general fund, which is sorely needed, as well as I believe that it will also bring pride to our town. It will be a flagship type of project, I believe. It will also bring jobs. There will be it'll bring, we're thinking, probably at least 50 permanent jobs, not to mention the part-time or the temporary positions that will come with it. As well as there'll be some restoration to the area, the creek that has been degraded over the many years, that will be restored. So there'll be pride as well as in the area. It'll be beautiful when it's done. It will... I think that when it's all said and done, there'll be a place for the residents and visitors alike to go and gather and just really be a source of pride for us here in Grover Beach. So I definitely support it, and I will do all that I can to see that it becomes a reality. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Molnar.
Thank you. Well, I don't know how to say this, but I'm probably the only person up here who is not happy with the lodge and the conference center in the way it is currently being presented. The original idea by Pacifica and the state and the city was to create a lodge and conference center for us. It has changed in its format, and the way it stands now, I believe it will be a financial debacle for the city. The financing plan, which I did vote against, it had us for the next 15 years giving them every bit of our TOT and our sales tax at the tune of perhaps $450,000 a year. And my concern is this, that you're going to have some wonderful years, as we all know, and you're going to have some years that are not going to be good. And if we are in a financial commitment and that money does not come in, where is it going to come from? It will come from our general fund. Now, I do understand that there is...
on the wishes of their constituents, and those were reaffirmed in 2004 in our visioning workshops, and we were given our marching orders. We were told... please make that conference center happen. I would like to talk a little bit about some of the issues that my colleague raised. There will, in fact, be five revenue streams from the hotel. Initially, there will be hundreds of thousands, possibly more than a million in fees. That's a one-time. We will receive sales tax. We will receive bed tax. We'll receive use tax, county use tax. And we'll also have lease income. So, and when we... as a council said, we would like to consider a financing plan and move forward with that. there were certain things we put in place. We put a cap on it, and the cap was, I believe, $400,000 or $450,000. So it will not take every penny of sales tax and TOT. We also set it up to take, I believe, either TOT or sales tax, not both. And we certainly didn't set it up to take all of our income stream. The good thing about this is that it's a great incentive for the hotel. They are building a hotel that needs to work for them financially, and it needs to work for us financially. If it does not work for them, we do not pay them. They have to generate the income in the form of sales tax or bed tax before they get a penny of it. So if they fail, we're not on the hook. Well, we don't want them to fail, obviously, but if they do fail, we're not on the hook for those funds. They're on the hook. So I think it's a fabulous way of doing it. I think it's a great way to fund development when you don't have the funds. And also, a lot of the infrastructure that's being put in is critical infrastructure that no matter who goes there, we're required to do. We still do the water. We still do the sewer. We still do those things. And I think it'll be a great combination with our fiber optic network.
Thank you. We've got an interesting question here because it's actually a two-parter. One of the citizens expressed a very specific concern. The basic question is, do you support the Charter City proposal? And why or why not? But one citizen added a relevant question, which, how do you guarantee union members will still be paid a decent wage, because the rules about paying wages under the two kinds of cities is different? So let's begin with Mr. Lee.
I'm going to begin by thanking the gentleman that opened that door over there. Continue the response by saying, yes, I am in support of the charter. I believe it's a wonderful opportunity that the city has. There's approximately 25% of the California cities that are going towards a charter, and more are coming towards that form of government. Just a quick education that I learned is that there's two types of cities: a general law city, which is basically what Grover Beach is now, that's controlled by the Constitution of California, created and changed and modified in Sacramento. And then there's a charter city, which is basically as Grover Beach becomes one, we'll have our own charter, our own constitution, which we then have the opportunity to make revisions to as we the people see fit. There's much more to the charter city opportunities and growth and elements than prevailing wage. Prevailing wage seems to be the touchstone topic of this, because if you use state and federal funds, a project, a public works project, any type of infrastructure project requires prevailing wage. One of the elements in the charter that Grover Beach has given themselves the option to do is, if we have only local funds, then we can use non-prevailing wage. So I think the opportunity to provide living wages for union members is still there. But for local projects with local funds, we can utilize the monies, whether it be a savings, whether it be a cost analysis, a benefit, economic benefit. I think those local dollars can go longer and can go further, can do more if we are not strapped and tied to only using prevailing wage, which is one of the reasons why, A, I support the charter, and B, I am in favor of unions. I'm a member of the San Luis Obispo County Public Works Union, but I am in favor of extending local funding.
Thank you. Ms. Bright, would you like me to read the question again? Do you support the Charter City proposal? Why or why not? And with a special emphasis on how do you feel about the problem of union members? Will they still be paid a decent wage?
Thank you. Yes, I do support the charter measure. There's really not a whole lot more I can add aside from what Mr. Lee has said. We need to represent all of the citizens in Grover Beach, all of the taxpayers, and that's what we are charged to do, and that is represent everyone equally in Grover Beach, and that is what I intend to do. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Robles.
I'm not in support of the charter, and I have a twofold answer. First, when I spoke at the city council meetings when the discussions were going on, my concern was, and what I had said is that, you know, I would be willing to stand up for anybody who wants to have their independence and anybody who wants to be independent and be self-governing and so on and so forth. But yet at the same time, I would have to question as to why it would be at the cost of someone else's independence. Why would it have to be a cost of the working person, of the person who may be head of household, of the person who may be providing for their family, and maybe be the only provider? There are some people in the city I know that are craftsmen. It's not just a union issue, but there are some non-union craftsmen that I know also that also have the opportunity to work on prevailing wage jobs. And they're excited about that, of course. Also, at the same time, my second part of the answer would be, I didn't feel that it was really discussed as much as I think that it should be, because this is biting off quite a big piece. You know, there's a lot of things concerning fundings and concerning all of that. A lot of the recent bankrupt cities in the state of California are also recent charter cities in the state of California. So it's to me, it's almost that, you know, and when going out to the public and to door-to-door, many of the people that I've spoke to, the first time they've ever heard of it was the fact that I'm telling it to them at their doorstep. When the meetings were held, the room was full of people saying, please don't hurt my wage. But yet the city just decided, you know, actually one said that, I think that there's more support outside of this room than there is inside of this room. And my concern then also, as I said, was let's not mistake apathy for acceptance, because the beauty of the democratic process is that those who shall raise their hand and raise their voice are those who shall be counted and heard. So, you know, there was a strong showing at each of those meetings saying, please don't hurt my wage. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Peterson.
I do support the charter, and there is a history to the charter, and it started a few years back when we had a couple of propositions where the voters were very clear in saying they did not want the state to continue taking money because the state had a history of taking money and not repaying it despite their promises to repay. Now they just take it and don't repay it. So in 2010, when the last proposition was voted in by the voters and the state continued to take our money by destroying economic development, we ended up getting pretty angry. A lot of cities got angry and started the charter city process. The charter city protects us to some extent. It gives us at least a legal leg to stand on from state rates. Not only do they come in and take our money, but the other thing they do is give us unfunded mandates. And the last couple of unfunded mandates have been at a cost of $100,000 a year to a city that has a turnover of, or a budget of just under $7 million. So that was where it started. And one of the items in it is the prevailing wage issue. And certainly as an employer and as a person who wants all of our stakeholders to be in a good position, the last thing I want is to take money off out of people's pockets and off the table. If we are able to pay market wage, or if we are able to enable the people who contract out with us to use a market wage as opposed to prevailing wage, we can save some money, and that's the money that will create more jobs. If we can do more projects, we can create more jobs. So I'm hoping that that folks will look at that, because this is a major way that we can actually help the people in Grover Beach. If streets would cost us somewhere between $30 and $40 million to get them really up to scratch, and we could save 8 to 20% on doing that, that's direct benefit for the people who live in Grover Beach. So I'm very much in favor of the charter and in the opportunities it will bring to town.
Thank you. And Ms. Molnar.
Oh, thank you. I am not in support of the charter. I do not think that the residents of this town have been asked properly to give their input. We're talking about home rule. Well, home rule means all of you, some of us up there on the council who made the decision to go this route. I voted no. All the way across, I voted no. And that it was not just a prevailing wage issue. That was very, very important. And I understand what Mr. Robles and all the people who came and spoke, they really made a very good point. You have to protect your residents and their income, because they are the ones that support the city. The charter is not the panacea that everyone sees it is.
And to begin that question, we have Ms. Bright.
Thank you. Would you mind just repeating that one more time for me, please?
Sure. Regarding roads, what budget cuts, or would you make budget cuts, would you make to allow for road improvements? Basically, the question is how would you going to solve the problem of roads in Grover Beach? And how would you include more bicycle-friendly roads?
Thank you. Well, if fixing the roads was an easy fix, it would have been done a long time ago. We've had many, many people sitting here with their platform being, I'm going to fix the roads, and the roads have not been fixed because it's not an easy fix. So the fact of the matter is, no budget cut in our $6.9 million budget is going to fix our roads. That's the sad, sorry truth. So the fact is that to fix our roads, it's going to cost somewhere between, the last estimate was between $30 and $40 million. It's about, last estimate was about $200,000 per block to fix a residential street. So what we need is a long-term strategy to start fixing our roads. $6.9 million budget is not going to do that. Even if we were able to start fixing our roads little by little, that $6.9 million budget is not going to be able to maintain what we fixed. So my strategy is to get our residents together and brainstorm and figure out how we are going to get this problem fixed, because it is a problem that does need a resolution. And the five of us are not going to be able to solve it alone. We need our residents' help to fix this problem. Bicycle lanes, I say whenever we fix a road, we do the bicycle lanes. And what we've been doing since I've been on the council is every time there's a grant out there, we go for it. And that's what we've been doing as far as even our arterial roads and the roads where we can get grant funding, we go for it. And we spend that money as wisely as we can. Whenever we can leverage our funds to improve our roads, that's what we do. So that's how we've been improving our major roads, where we can get funding that way. Thank you.
And thank you. And Mr. Robles.
Yeah, that's almost like, how many weeks does it take to get to the
Senate? Bob. That is the question, of course, that is always on the table, and everybody may even use as a platform to run. And the real answer is, yeah, you're going to have to get creative. You're going to have to be able to speak to each other. And, you know, that's why, as far as I'm concerned, you know, going to have to be willing to work with any person that is sitting here with me and be able to even talk about it now, or begin to think and strategize, you know, because as I said, these roads, you know, it's a beautiful place to live, but it's also a hard place to buy a new car, because your very own streets will beat your car up in a little while. So it is a concern. Everybody says, oh, so what are you going to do, fix the streets? If, you know, it almost gets to the point where you'd like to get yourself some cold tar and some cold and just get out and patch them yourself for a little bit, just to say, hey, at least I'll do my part. But it is going to have to be being creative like that and trying to figure out what it is that we can do. And it has to mean that much to all of us. It has to mean that much. If it means that much to the residents, it needs to mean that much to us up here. The bike lanes, I think that is something awesome, because this is such a great place to ride a bike, to walk, and to do, and to travel straight to the beach. But again, you don't want your four-year-old hitting a pothole and then ending up with some sort of boo-boo. So we have to be able to understand all of the things, and also some of the money that we've also been spending. Like there's a discussion about fixing roads that have already been fixed before.
as being in the industry, I know that I can't walk away from a project unless I know that it's been signed off by the person, the client. So I think that, you know, one of the things that was brought up was the unraveling of the street. Well, I think that something that needs to be done would make sure that we get better inspection of the materials and also that what the workers themselves are doing.
Thank you. And Mr. Lee.
I'll first start out with a little jab at our sister city, Pismo Beach, or our neighbor city, Pismo Beach. Love the town, not trying to dish them or anything, but they have a significantly larger budget than we do. They have the opportunity to spend significantly more money on the roads than we do. Not sure if anybody's gone and driven around some of the location in Pismo Beach. Their roads aren't about inspections. I believe the city has changed and is in the process of changing their process in order to ensure that that inspection is carried out and maintained to the highest standards possible. So budget cuts aren't going to solve the roads. Unfortunately, if budget cuts are made, it's going to impact other services, which obviously the residents of Grover Beach need, and we all need, and need, whether that be fire, police, community services. Those road improvements are going to be done through a consensus of the community, along with grant funding and revenue streams. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Molnar.
Oh, thank you. There is no solution. We do not have enough money to fix our roads, to be really honest. I object to what happened last night with Grand Avenue and then our enhancement project by putting in an extra $292,000 from our gas tax fund for decorative paving and crosswalks. It would have been better just to scrap the plan. I understand that there was grant funding available, and if you don't use it, you can lose it. But why use it on a project that isn't going to necessarily help everyone? That $292,000 from the gas tax fund could have been used on a couple of streets in our residential neighborhoods. And as I said earlier, if we improve our housing stock, we will increase our property tax, which will give us more money in the general fund. And that will enable us to have more money to go towards our street improvements. Our major streets, our arterials, our collectors, thank you, they all qualify for grant funding. I do not believe in putting in general fund money or gas tax fund money on our major streets anymore. They've been fixed time and time again, and we have totally forgotten about the residential streets, which are getting horrendous. Though we are not the only city with this problem. I do know that we have been trying for bicycle grant funding several times. I believe last year we did not get it. We are looking for it again. And at every opportunity, we do put in bike lanes, and we do make biking more accessible to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Peterson.
The first budget cut I would make would be to put a charter into effect, because that enables us to use local contractors for jobs with local dollars, which are local jobs, which are streets and infrastructure. And I believe that if we can allow our contractors the ability to choose how they're going to fund their labor force, then we will be able to have savings. The savings don't just come from market wages. They also come from the huge overhead that's involved in administering prevailing wage, and that can add as much as 20% to the cost of administering the project. So I would, the first thing I would do would be vote in the charter, and that would be a tool in our toolkit. The other thing is that if people get tired enough of the roads, then they may be willing to throw a little more money at it. And that's something that everybody will need to vote on and decide for themselves. And if folks, if there are enough interested folks, then the council, I'm sure, will take that up. Some of the numbers that have been bandied about on that is it would cost us $250 a year per property owner to fund a $40 million bond. So if you're willing to pay $20 a month, you can have nicer streets. And that's something that people may have decided they're willing to do. I wanted to give a little history on the streets, too, so that you understand that it's not just a lack of insight or foresight or good work on the part of the council or contractors. Initially, when we had when we were owned by the county, we had sand dunes, and we had sand streets. And they threw a little oil on the sand, and then they threw a little asphalt on the oil, and then they threw a little more asphalt on the asphalt. The streets never had a proper foundation, and that's why it costs $200,000 a block to fix the streets. We have made choices. We've chosen to fix the major arterials because everybody uses those, and because we can get a lot of very good grant funding for that. On residential streets, we're on our own, so we have to find some better way to do it.
Thank you. A question has come up here from people in the building about this issue of roads. And we're going to give you about 15 seconds for a yes-no answer. All right? That's all we want. It puts you on the spot, I recognize. And it's a two-part question. Two different people asked it. One suggested a bond issue, and the other suggested raising taxes like Pismo Beach did. So here's your two, yes or no. Do you support a bond issue? Would you support raising sales tax? And let's run right through. We're going to start with Mr. Robles. Yes or no? Bond issue, sales tax?
It becomes everybody's responsibility. So, you know, I would totally favor discussing a sales tax because we all, these are our roads, we want to pay for them, yes.
Ms. Peterson?
There are pros and cons to each. A bond, we indebt ourselves. As sales tax, the income comes in, it comes from everybody who uses the streets. A bond only comes from the property owners. And so I think, however, at the end of the day, the beauty of it is that it's the voters who determine whether we have new taxes or whether we have bonds. And so at the end of the day, we need to convene some meetings, get folks together, hear how they feel, hear whether they'd like to do one or the other or neither, and then put whichever most the folks seem to want on the ballot.
Thank you. And Ms. Molnar.
No on the bond, yes on the sales tax.
Thank you. All right. This is a question that, again, is a bit of a follow-up to that. The city's budget went from $7.2 million to $6.9 million, and our budget is now so constrained. What do you see as future sources for raising revenue? And on the spot, we have Mr. Lee.
Thank you for that. So as Tony mentioned, we went from $7.2 million to $6.9 million. But there's an unresolved component or an unaddressed component that he mentions in that is that the state, in its infinite wisdom, decided that redevelopment agencies should be negated, canceled, put out of business. That was another approximately $1 million that came into the city of Grover Beach that rightly was used for infrastructure projects, whether it be road improvements, whether it be, storm drains, whether it be some other infrastructure. That was what the city used to fund a lot of the infrastructure. The city said, the state said that's not legal anymore, so they canceled it. And so that forced the city to relook at its budget and to say, okay, we are further constrained, so now we've got to provide services and we've got to provide road improvements within that budget. So future revenue sources. I think we've discussed it with regards to the Grover Beach Lodge, with the virtual port, with developing businesses and retaining businesses. Those elements will bring additional revenues into the city. And I'm going to disagree with Ms. Molnar at the moment with regards to the residential element component of that. Prop 13 limits how much money can be brought into the city with regards to property tax. We don't have a lot. We as a city don't have a lot of undeveloped residential lands within the city. So property tax coming into this area is going to be very constrained. It's not going to grow as large or as quickly as new businesses will bring monies into the city or the Grover Beach Lodge or the virtual port. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Bright.
Thank you. Well, in addition to what Mr. Lee has said, also, of course, as we all know, our property values decreased quite significantly. So as the economy recovers, so will our property tax, our property values, and then our property taxes, our property values will increase, and as will the taxes that come to the city. As will the fees that the city generally has been taking in throughout the years. Our building fees are that was an enterprise fund that actually brought money into the city. Those fees for building and remodeling and so on, that's just virtually almost non-existent at this point in time. So those fees will come back as the economy improves, as well as simple things like our Parks and Rec Department that used to bring in funds for various types of rentals and so on has seen a major decline. So I believe just as the economy turns around and begins to improve, so will the budget, so will our budget.
Thank you. And Mr. Robles.
Yeah, I think we do have an opportunity with this, as Salih was saying, with the lodge coming and the information highway, the super virtual highway also, and all of these things that are that you know, there is the potential there for us to be able to raise some funds. With the lodge, as I said, you know, because, you know, this place that we live in, it's beautiful to us, it's our home, but also at the same time, as I said earlier this evening, that, you know, the same roads that lead to us are the same roads that lead through us. It would be nice to have someone come and stay in our town, and someone come and be here and have somewhere to go, and businesses and corporations to come and hold all of these things, where their money will also come to us, and their money will come to us, where we could invite and encourage restaurant owners, encourage people, shop owners, encourage people to begin to open
revenue.
I don't. To be honest, we have a commercial strip that is much too large to support the city. So we have a lot of vacancies. Right? We need to make it very easy to let those businesses stay where they are. So we need to make sure that they are not hampered with any kind of extra restrictions that cities do put on them. I know we had discussed changing the business license, because there are some businesses that have one employees. There's some businesses such as Vaughn's, and they generate all different amounts of income. That was one discussion that we had, which the council never did follow up. I think it was probably because this was an election year, and they were probably afraid of alienating a lot of businesses. But I do know that the small businesses, really, it isn't fair that they pay the same as a large business. And I know that Councilmember Bright did mention about the property taxes. I just got my property tax bill and it went down. The idea, hopefully, is that as our economy improves, the property taxes will go up. But this is also a time when property doesn't cost that much, that someone could come into town and buy a piece of property that is very low priced and they can improve it. And that would also improve our property taxes. So I really think that in order to bring in revenue for our budget, we need to still go back and think about supporting our residential neighborhoods. It's very, very important not to forget those people. Thank you.
Thank you. And lastly, Ms. Peterson.
The best way we can help neighborhoods improve is to have a budget that sustains improving them. And any kind of revenue generation needs to be sustainable. That's a really popular word these days. If you have a hotel, year after year after year after year, you have more income coming in, and it's that will build on neighborhoods and help sustain our neighborhoods and improve our neighborhoods. Also, yes, property taxes will go up on their own, and as we have more jobs coming into town and more head of household jobs coming into town, the funds will be available to homeowners to actually do some of those improvements, which will also increase property taxes, increase values, which will increase property taxes. A lot of what could have been said has been said. There's not a whole lot I can add to that. But basically, I think that we have a great formula with having done some rezoning. Grand Avenue, we've done some mixed use on it. We understand that it can't be sustained. Our little town can't sustain a two-mile stretch like that, so we've made some zoning changes. And with the hotel and the virtual port, we'll be bringing in significant income year on year and year, and there will be spin-off businesses.
Thank you very much. We're in a situation here where, given the number of remaining questions, if we cut these to short answers, we will answer every question that the audience has turned in. How about that? So let's keep these short. Let's try for a one-minute answer on these. They're all pretty simple questions. So if you are prepared, the first one is, what events do you support and what would you like to see come into town? All right, let's do this in a minute, and we start with Lucky Miss Bright. These are one-minute answers.
Thank you. Well, I must say that my most favorite event is the concerts in the park. I think that brings people from all over the county, and I'm told that it's one of the best. So I truly, that's one that I support. I support all of our events, I think. I'm at all of them. I love the pumpkin carving event. And the parade. So let's talk about something that I'd like to see come here. I would like to see us do something like they've started doing in San Luis, and that's where you do the rave or whatever they call it, where they all converge on one particular business. That's what I'd like to see us do, and just kind of promote one business or one type of whether it's a business or whatever mm-hmm. it is. So I'd like to see that happen.
Thank you, Mr. Robles. 1 minute. What do you support, and what would you bring to town?
I love the concerts. I love I love the whole having the community all come out and join each other and just have a great time. There's a lot of things that I was excited about when I went to the planning meeting, and got to sit in at the planning meeting. You know, got to listen to Jeff Lee and all of them speak. And there was
Christmas Wither encouraged us to do was to take those events, those special events that the city does, and actually make them self-sustaining. And that was one of the areas where the Parks and Rec Commission was really supportive of going out and getting volunteers, going out and getting not grants, but other sources of funding, so that they could be more self-sustaining. One of the events that I'd love to see come back is we used to do a joint Easter egg hunt with the city of Arroyo Grande. That would be great. We had thousands of people that used to converge upon, I think it was Elm Street Park. I think it'd be great to bring that back into the city. And then also just a quick little shameless plug, there is a foodie event that is about to come into the town on Friday, on 3rd and Grand, at the brainchild of Mr. Duke Sterling. So that's an event that is here and is about to come back.
Thank you. Ms. Peterson.
I would love to see us do an event that, like Jeff is talking about, Grover Pride will be launching on Friday night. And I've been in other towns, and I've seen it happen here and abroad, where the food producers of the community converge. They form a circle. They circle the food trucks or the wagons around a parking lot or around a town square. And everybody comes and has an informal meal. They set up some tables and chairs. And so communities get to talk to one another. Single people get to come and get their dinner. You can do it takeaway. You can buy it there. And it supports our local businesses. So I would love to see us do that. Nobody else in the county is doing it. It could be unique to Grover. The other thing I really want, and I haven't said this to anyone, this is all new. I'm on the committee for the Visitor Convention Bureau, and I would love to see the event Savor the Central Coast be at our new hotel when we get up and running with that. That would be phenomenal in terms of spin-off income to the city and popularity of the city.
Thank you. And last, Ms. Molnar.
Right, thank you. We have great events here. Parks and Recreations does a really good job. There are some communities that have added an extra something every year. Now, Cambria has a wonderful Scarecrow Festival that they do during the entire month of October, and everyone comes into town and to see these. And so they use the local restaurants, they stay in hotels. In the city of Los Angeles, years ago, they used the angel theme, and they decorated angels.
and then later they were sold. The city of San Luis Obispo, they did fish. In our travels, there is in Wyoming, Cody, Wyoming, they did buffalo. And they do it every year. And they put these big buffaloes on the corners of their main downtown. They're decorated by artists. And at the end of the season, they are they have a silent auction. And all the money goes to the parks and recreations. Since we are a beach city, I suggest we do something such as decorating surfboards, maybe 5-foot high surfboards that would be on all of the corners in our main downtown area, and then later auction them off. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You did well on your speed round that time. Let's really challenge you. This one, 30 seconds. This is an issue all over the county, and I'm not sure it falls within your purview, but let's give it a shot because we've had more than one question regarding. Recently, there has been controversy about water meters and their accuracy in this city. What are your views on this? 30 seconds. And let's start with Mr. Robles.
Yeah, matter of fact, that came up at one of the recent council meetings and, about that. And one of the concerns was that they may be getting old and they may be reading wrong. And so I believe were contacted and everything, and that's where this information came from. So that's a pretty big issue as far as, you know, I think somebody's already doing something about it, and somebody's already trying to get something done. So I'm thankful to what they're already doing.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Water meters are a tool, so they're basically a piece of equipment that measures how much water each individual business or resident uses. And so, if they're not functioning properly, then they should be either replaced, repaired, modified, and the city has a process in place to do that. As Mr. Robles said, as they do get a little bit older, they actually do slow down a little bit, and so that is actually in the resident's favor. Myself being a resident, I'm somewhat okay with that, personally, but as a matter of for the city, we obviously need our water meters to function correctly.
And Ms. Bright, 30 seconds.
Thank you. Yes, this is an issue, and it was an issue last night, and it has been an issue for several of our residents. It is something that we are looking at. Our city manager and our public works department, they do work with our residents, and they are working with them to replace the meters that need to be replaced.
I have sensitive to them myself for two reasons. One, because I try to conserve water, and two, because I try to conserve money. So I'm sympathetic, and I know that there are things that can be done in the city. The meters actually are not terribly old. We put a new system in effect, I think, maybe 6 or so years ago, and so I'm not sure that that's the issue. From time to time, there is a water meter that doesn't work well, and I'm confident that the city staff will be able to get to the bottom of it.
Okay, thank you, and I'm recognizing it's tough to answer a question in 30 seconds, but if we're going to give you your full two-minute closing, we've got to do another one of these real quick rounds. All right, are we ready? This one, we had two people that want to know what your specific experience is working with nonprofit organizations, commissions, boards, committees, that kind of thing that are relevant to wanting to run for council or for the mayor. So give us a real quick 30-second wrap-up of your experience, and we're going to start with Mr. Lee.
I'll start by saying there's these really cool handouts on the back, and it does provide a lot of my experience with regards to nonprofits as well as a community experience. Nonprofits, I've been past president of the San Luis Obispo Little Theater. I'm currently president of the Kiwanis Club, a service organization in San Luis Obispo. Been, where am I? So chair of the Parks and Rec Commission, so obviously a community organization. So leadership class 5 of San Luis Obispo. So I think basically all that says is I've done a lot, I like to volunteer, and I enjoy working with people.
Thank you very much. Ms. Bright, this is a challenge.
Okay. I was president of Beach Cities Little League, PTA president of Grover Heights School, vice president of Grover Heights PTA. I served on the Grover Beach Beautiful Committee, Grover Beach Advisory Committee. I served on the Zone 3 Water Board, SLO County Water Resources Committee, the SLO County Economic Vitality Corporation. I am the liaison to the Air Basin Control Board. I sit on the County Waste Management Board, the County Air Pollution Control Board. I served on the Planning Commission for 3 terms, and I am now currently council member.
And Mr. Robles.
Well, in the ironworking industry, there's very little nonprofit organizations going on. But I had an opportunity while in church, of course, you know, to help with the youth group, of course, you know, doing summer camps, winter camps, making sure raising funds for all of those things, raising funds for the building, and even beginning to build new buildings and such and so on. So, you know, as I said, I don't really have that, all of that experience, but the experience that I did do and I've done was very rewarding, and it still makes me want to serve and help.
Ms. Peterson.
When I was in college, I was a resident advisor in one of the very few co-ed dorms on campus, and that was highly entertaining for all of us. That was a long time ago. And when I moved abroad and started my own company, once it grew to a certain point, I realized that I needed to have advisors. I was 25, and at 25, there was a whole lot I didn't know about business, and I needed help. So I formed a corporation and set up a board to help me with that, and they were very good at that. I have been the president of Toastmasters and the finance chair of Toastmasters, and when I worked with Keller Williams, I was on their finance committee and on their associate leadership commission. I was the chairman of their finance committee. Oops, sorry. I didn't go fast enough. More.
Ms. Milner.
Okay. Thank you. I come from a large family, and we started out by serving every year Italian dinners at our church for over 2,000 people, so I've started in service very young. With my son, I was in the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. When I had my preschool, I was involved in child abuse clinics, and I was also a coordinator of the Month of the Young Child. Here in town, I'm on the Housing Trust, which provides bridge loans for low-income families. I'm the newest member of the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. I did serve on the IWMA and was voted for the ban of the plastic bags. Now I serve on the RAC and Zone 3. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I think you all did real well on all these speed rounds. Let's go now to the final statement. You have 2 minutes to sum up what you would like all these folks out here in the audience to hear about you and your platform or what it is. It's open to you. We're going to go in exact reverse order of how we began. So we'll start with Ms. Peterson.
Thank you. I wanted to say thank you to all of you over there who are assisting and run a company of about the same number of employees, about the same turnover as the city. So I'm very familiar with profit and loss, cash flow statements, balance sheets, and where they're relevant. And I have actually worked on a number of boards that I didn't mention, the SLO County Visitor Convention Bureau, the Economic Vitality Corporation. I'm our liaison to the Chamber of Commerce, SLO County Housing Trust Fund, Bridging Poverty Event Board, and I am a real estate broker. I have 4 agents who work with me, so I think I have the experience that's needed to take us to this next stage, and I've positioned myself in my committee assignments to be sure that I can use the public relations degree that I have to really get our conference center off and running and our business plan for our fiber optics virtual port up and running as well. And we're at Alto. Adios.
Thank you. And Ms. Molnar, you're next.
Hi. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here tonight and to our viewers on cable television. It is very important that you be fully informed as to what is happening in our city.
In my time as a council member, I've observed many decisions and proposals that have been brought forward that did not provide all necessary information for a proper decision. It is vital that all decisions, now and in the future, be based upon all information available. This is part of my mission. Another goal as your mayor is to support the residents of our city. I intend to institute a monthly Meet the Council open house where you can talk to your city council members in an informal setting with no time limitations. A city's budget is no different than your own personal budget. X amount comes in, and only a similar amount can go out. Property tax is about half of the revenue for this city, and whether you rent or are an owner, you are paying property taxes. I intend to be sensible about how the city spends your money. That is why I believe in putting as much money as possible in the improvement of the neighborhoods, roads, parks, and safety. It is important that there is a monthly review of the budget, similar to that of a well-run business with the use of proper accounting tools. There should be no more spending of your money on irrelevant projects that go over budget and further reduce our general fund. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Please go out and vote, either in person or by absentee ballot. I would appreciate your vote for change, and so in the category for mayor of Grover Beach, be sure and choose Phyllis A. Molnar. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, just a word before we begin listening to the three council persons. There are two other candidates for the council that are not here tonight, Anita Schauer and Liz Dukakis-White. And they are allowed to send in a statement. It will be read between on both sides of Ms. Bright, so that we will end with Mr. Lee. In all fairness, I will read 2 minutes of their statement. I am to be timed the same way as the candidates. So, that being said, Mr. Robles, you're up.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you for coming on out, and and thank you for the questions. It's nice. That's one of the things that I hope to do is be able to talk and be able to listen and be able to hear, and so we can have a line of communication between the resident and the city. I'm an iron worker. I've been an iron worker for 20 years. I come from a large family of iron workers. There are three generations of us in the industry, and I'm very proud to be a builder. I enjoy it. I enjoy looking back and seeing what it is that has been built. At the same time, I understand that as in the past, I've been foreman, I've been general foreman, I've even just been on the gang in there with the men. But the one thing that I've always understood is that it had always taken all of us doing something together, understanding what it is, great communication in order to make sure that we get a firm foundation, that we come out of the ground right, we come out of the ground straight and true. So to me, that is what I would hope to continue to do in being a part of building the city and being a part of maybe the new things that you, your ideas and the things that you want to be done, to see done. I would hope to be that advocate. I enjoy this place. I enjoy the city. I enjoy everything. As I said, I enjoy walking the streets. I enjoy talking to the people, and I enjoy listening. And so I would hope that you would give me that opportunity to be a builder and to continue being a builder and, to continue to build for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now I will read the statement of Anita Schauer. Area and making it available to employers who have a need for this kind of space and promoting it and celebrating it to employers in San Luis Obispo County as well as other counties throughout the state. 5, bringing the owners of our vacant pieces of property on Grand Avenue as well as the landlords of these pieces of property to a roundtable for a discussion that will highlight the city's desire for attractive retail space. We applaud mixed-use projects and perhaps enlighten these important people to various tax incentive benefits for economic development. revisiting the Beachfront Lodge and Convention Center to make sure we're planning correctly for future visitors and tourists, that this particular campus isn't too overwhelming in size, that parking will be adequate, that it will serve the purpose of caring for families who visit our area, that the convention part, I'm sorry, I have to quit in fairness to the other candidates. Thank you. And Ms. Bright.
Thank you. Thank you all as well for being here. Greatly appreciate your time, your energy, and your interest. It's so important, and we greatly appreciate it. Well, Grover Beach has been my home for over 25 years, and I love it here. That's been my passion and why I serve. I love the small-town atmosphere. That has been one of the greatest joys of living here and raising my children. I just love the idea when people would tell me, oh, I saw Corey doing this, or I saw Courtney walking down the street, and I just love that. It's a village, and it was just wonderful raising my children here. And now I have a grandchild, and I hope that we'll be able to continue that in the family. So I've served as your council member for the past 5 years, and then prior to that as the planning commissioner. And as a result of that, I feel that I really have a foundation knowing how things work in our city. And I believe that that's an important part. The accumulation of that type of experience and knowledge, I think, has enabled me to become an effective and responsive city leader. I'm very proud of our city and what we have accomplished to date. I'm very grateful to the residents, city leaders, and staff who've given their time and efforts, and so that now we can begin to see the years of planning are finally coming to realization. We must continue our efforts to move forward, to grow our tax base and boost our economic vitality by supporting and encouraging local businesses, public-private partnerships, like the Beachfront Lodge and Conference Center, and the virtual port projects. For a city with a limited budget, we've managed to maintain a responsive and effective police force and a city staff that serves our residents in a way that is far beyond neighboring cities with much larger budgets. It's something to be very proud of. Adios. Thank you all.
Thank you. And now I'll read the statement of candidate Liz Doukas White, or Doukas White, I'm sorry. I would be most honored to serve as your representative on the Grover Beach City Council. My goals are simple: fiscal responsibility, a strong infrastructure with street rehabilitation on the number one priority, strong public and pedestrian safety, openness and accountability in government, and increasing and ensuring housing for senior citizens. I am at this time against the charter city concept, as it is not the right time or place for this change to occur. We are a city in distress, and now is not the time to change how we operate, especially in light of the fact that I see no appreciable benefits from a city council, city charter concept. I'm sorry. Our current budget needs to be scrutinized and gone over for cost efficiency and where we can start funding much-needed programs such as consistently well-funded street program. As for the Beachfront Lodge project, the current financial agreement is in place and unwise at this time, out of our scope of affordability. It depends too much on the unknowns at this time. Additionally, the scope of the project has grown dramatically in size, contrary to this city's visioning workshops, in which the citizens expressed a more recreational, advantageous site for visitors. I would make it my highest priority to ensure that all citizens are treated fairly and equitably when they walk through the doors of City Hall. and their concerns are addressed in a timely and efficient manner. We desperately need a checks and balances system of complaints made to City Hall by our citizens and a comprehensive program put in place to bring...
I will act in the best interest of the city. I'll listen to your input. I'll listen to your questions. I'll ask for your concerns and your advice, and I'll act upon them, again, in the best interest of the city. I've got an engineering background, so I'm a civil engineer by trade, but I also do theater. I also do local arts, and I think that gives me an opportunity to use both sides of my brain. I think outside the box. It gives me an opportunity to work collaboratively. I enjoy working with the public. I enjoy working with groups, but I also enjoy working with the city council, with staff, and other agencies as well. So I look forward to representing Grover Beach in a professional, fair, and a responsible manner. City government does need to have some common sense to it. It does need to have some civility and also some transparency. I hope to continue that momentum that has been started and continued by other councils. Grover Beach is a great place to live, a great place to work, a great place to play. We have a momentum that has started. We don't want to stop that momentum. I think as a member of the City Council, I can continue that momentum. And lastly, I'd like to thank and mention the supporters out there, not by name, but the people that I've talked to, the people that are supporting us, and the people that are members of Grover Beach. Thank you very much.
And that concludes our forum. I want to thank the audience. You've been excellent and attentive and sent in some good questions. The chamber deserves thanks for putting this on, and certainly the candidates deserve thanks for taking their time and providing us with some real insights into how they think. And lastly, let's never forget AGP Video for the fine job that they do covering this. It will be broadcast every day, I believe. Yes, every day you'll be able to see this or tell your friends to see this. That's on Channel 20, your local government channel. And I believe there's a website pasted on up front. And so at that, I want to thank you all for coming. And good night.